Pulling up to Mickey D's just for drinks? Oh yeah, that's me. Nothing extra, just perfection and a straw. Coming in hot for the coldest cups on the block. Because there are drinks. Then there are drinks from McDonald's.
Ever combine an ice-cold frozen Coke with piping hot fries? Try frozen drinks any size for $1.49. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'd see him sitting on that couch all day long, just staring at that Hollywood hogwash.
Our favorite show was Hollywood Hogwash.
Welcome to another episode of Hollywood Hogwash. I'm Andrew Pisano, along with my brother Joe Pisano and Aaron Rosa.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm wearing green. You've got a little green necklace
green
on
beads.
There. It's lucky. They say green is lucky.
Yeah.
Like, what NFL team is green?
We've already been crying over the Jets for the past 20. You know what's so sad? It's fucking March, and we're like, the Jets, here we go.
Don't
who
Jets.
They gonna draft? Fuck.
Even you sent a text, and you're like, hey, they're putting together a line. Maybe we'll get a receiver. Who knows? Trade up and get Marvin Harrison Jr. Stop it.
Jesus. Guys. Your son said Marvin Harrison Jr.
I know.
But yeah, I was like, maybe receiver. Who knows? But
guys, we had 20 minutes of Jets talk before this started.
Sorry.
We're still going.
Yeah. Enough sadness. We got to talk about the fact that Aaron finally saw Talladega Nights for the first time.
Finally.
And I
got to
say, the joy I had watching him watch this movie was amazing. Like, just seeing his reaction to, you know, hearing the jokes, seeing the jokes for the first time was worth it.
And as a Niners fan, you truly understand the line. If you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, that's true.
Ah, fuck you,
Joe. Good point. Yeah, enough football talk. Yeah, I mean, just first impressions, what did you think?
Oh, it was great. I mean, if you're talking the, like, the holy trinity of Will Ferrell movies. You've got Step Brothers, you've got Anchorman in this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is clearly third of those three.
Sure.
But this is a strong three. It's got a lot of really
good
moments.
They're all great.
They're all really good. It's
dear
funny.
8 pound, 6 ounce, newborn infant Jesus. Don't even know a word yet.
Yeah. Golden fleece dappers. I think it's definitely our sister's favorite Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
It's one of her favorite movies, period. Well, she makes me quote it all the time still.
I love Days of Thunder. Like, I love that movie. It's amazing.
Well, yeah. This is a direct parody.
It's a parody of it. It's
totally
so good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's even screams Tom Cruise's name a couple of times and he's going crazy.
Right. Yes, that's right. The only mistake we made was we watched the unrated version. Don't ever do that. We were like, hey, there's some extra scenes that we hadn't seen before.
Try it out.
Pretty much all the extra scenes were not good. No. It's like, yeah, this is why they were deleted scenes.
Yeah, right. It felt like it kind of took some of the punch out of the movie.
But it's funny because what's really stupid is I have the fucking Blu-ray. By the way, it's the first Blu-ray I ever owned.
Wow.
Because the first 500,000 PS3s that came out came with this fucking movie.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That was one of my trivias.
Yeah, so I could have just popped in the Blu-ray, but then I saw that it was available on Amazon, but it said, oh, the rated version costs money, but the unrated version is free.
Yeah.
And then we were like, well, let's see. Maybe it has some good scenes. And no. The answer is no.
Have you listened to the, what do they call it when everyone gets
the commentary?
The commentary.
I don't think so. Apparently, it's
a bunch of just random gibberish with them in character.
That's
something.
Great.
We have to listen to that.
I've mentioned before that the Dodgeball, the unrated, they came out with the Dodgeball DVD. That had normal DVD commentary from Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, and the director. Then they had the unrated Dodgeball DVD that I bought. And that has DVD commentary, but it's different. It's Vince Vaughn and the director, they're there, and they're like, hey, guys, we're doing the commentary for the unrated. You know, we already did the last one. But Big Shot Ben Stiller, he's late like usual. We're just waiting on him, but we decided to get started. And then, like, 5 minutes later or something, it's been a while, like, Ben Stiller shows up. He's like, hey, guys, I'm here. Let's get started. Like, we already started. And he's like, what? And he's like, well, I brought biscotti for everyone. I brought you guys biscotti. And then Ben Stiller's just like loudly chewing biscotti right into the microphone. He's like, and then they all get pissed at Ben. Like, they all get mad. They're like, fine, fuck you, man. They all leave. Like, everyone leaves. And then there's just silence for a little bit. And then you hear like these technical guys like, they left. What do we do? Like, just put the DVD commentary for something about Mary. And then the rest of it is a DVD commentary for something
that's
about Mary.
That's fucking genius.
It is genius.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Oh, I got to hear that.
It's so great. I wish they still had that. There's got to be a way to find amazing. That.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh.
So anyways, we're going to break down Talladega Nights in full. But first, we have to thank four new patrons.
Yes.
That signed up. So thank you to Cody Mastel, Connor Street, Snake Plissken.
Love it.
From Escape from New York, right?
Yeah,
LA.
Yeah.
Escape from LA, yep.
Kurt Russell. And then we also have to thank the old Kanye, who I recognize that name from the What's Wrong Wrestling Patreon. But yeah, go ahead and sign up like these guys did at patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash. We're close to 200. We're close to 200 patrons on there. We're currently going through Invincible Season 2 because it's back. The last four episodes of the season. We're going through that. It's really good. We also dropped a couple brackets. What the fuck? What brackets were those again? I forget.
Funniest actor.
Oh, yeah. Funniest actor.
Funniest actor that
greatest
you guys fucked up.
Action
yes.
hero of all time.
That's right. Yeah, right. Yeah. We did Hottest 90s Crush.
Best intro? Or is
best
that on
TV
the,
intro best of TV all intro. Time? Yeah, those are on there as well. So go check it out. Patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash. All right. Let's get to the news and rumors, a.k.a.
Oh.
The Hollywood Hogwash.
Boom.
So, a lot of fans were like, hey, you got to see Dune 2, Andrew. Yeah. You know, it's way better than the first one.
Two of my kids.
Been hearing
so,
the same thing.
I saw Dune 2.
What are you talking about?
I got this from the theaters.
You said you're going to tell me if you were going.
I went yesterday.
And?
I got this movie poster.
That's good.
All right.
I don't know what to do with it. It's just a giant asshole.
The giant worm that you can fuck.
Did you get the popcorn bucket?
Yes, yes. I fucked the popcorn bucket.
And tell them, hold the popcorn.
Right. Exactly. But no, this might be the biggest improvement of a sequel ever.
Wow.
Can you think of a movie that it sucked and then the sequel was like awesome?
I mean, I wouldn't go back.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fans were like, you know, you got to go see it. A lot of people were messaging me. So I saw it like, it's really good. I'm not going to spoil anything.
So
don't
why
worry.
Don't we do it on that today?
It's like 3 hours.
Oh.
And that's a hard movie to be typing like as you're watching. There's so much going on.
But no spoilers.
Confusing.
It was good. It was way better.
It was way better.
You understood.
The first one is just no. But the first one, a little bit. The first one's just boring. There's like one action scene. The rest is just people talking. It's boring as fuck. This one's like all action. There's like a Colosseum scene where like there's this fight in the Colosseum. That was awesome. Austin Butler's character, he was great. Batista was great. Zendaya is my favorite character.
Well,
sure.
No, I mean, she's just really good. Like, my only criticism is that, again, they cast Timothée Chalamet. He's so bad. He's an awful actor.
He really? Seems like the worst.
I hate him so much. Like, I saw the Wonka movie, and I just couldn't get
you
into
saw
it
that
because.
Too?
Yeah. Mm. I just couldn't get into it because he was so awful. Like, he's just. Everything he says, I don't believe him. So I just don't like Timothée Chalamet. I wish they would have cast a better actor, but
yeah,
the movie is good, and there's going to be a part three. Like, we're not done with this shit yet.
Right.
I almost saw it this last week, but it was 3 hours, so we went, there's just no time.
It's really good. It's
is
visually...
Is it a full three, really?
So huh?
It's a full three?
It's 2:46 oof. Plus, you know, trailers, so yeah, you're going to be in there for 3 hours.
So it's worth it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Got to have a pee break in there. Like, 5 minutes. Like, you know what I mean? Have an intermission.
They should, yes.
No, look, Scorsese said we shouldn't have pee breaks.
Right, and his movies are 3.5 hours now. But no, again, visually amazing. Saw it in IMAX, and it was worth it to see. Because they shot it in IMAX.
Yeah. Nice.
So it was definitely worth it.
Speaking of IMAX, did you hear they're filming the new Superman movie entirely in IMAX?
Okay, nice, yeah.
Interesting.
Sure. Not sure why that matters, but...
Yeah, I know, like, Nolan did that for The Dark Knight. He didn't shoot all of it in IMAX for Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, but he says for the dialogue scenes, the IMAX cameras are too loud. Hmm. So I wonder if they fixed that problem.
Right.
I'm not sure.
So. Some scenes it makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm so worried about that Superman movie.
Yeah. I
don't know. When has James Gunn let you down, though?
Yeah, but how many times can you reboot something?
I feel like I need to stop talking because James Gunn's done nothing but good things, but
I'm just worried.
I'm so worried about this, and I'm.
That's good. My expectations are floor.
Yeah.
Plus, if it's decent, yeah, I'll be happy.
It's DC. Yes. So you have, you know, of course you're going to worry. It's fucking DC.
That's a good formula. If you have no expectations,
right?
If it's great,
yeah.
But the only good shit DC's done lately is James Gunn stuff. The Suicide Squad remake,
yes,
or reboot or whatever, and then Peacemaker. I mean, those are both awesome. So I have faith in James Gunn.
Okay. True.
Yeah. Yes. I'll just say that now. I think I had one more thing to say about Dune, but I forgot. But yeah, no, I mean, it was worth it. I'm rooting against Timothy Chalamet, even though he's like the main character of the movie. But Christopher Walken's is in it.
Oh,
Christopher Walken. And Florence Pugh's even in it, which I didn't even know.
Oh, okay. But,
yeah.
And she takes off her top, of course.
Yes.
So kind of her go-to.
Oppenheimer.
No?
That was Oppenheimer.
Oh, right. Well, I figured it was her thing now.
Right. You wishing that. So, all right, move over, creepy Dune popcorn bucket.
Uh-oh.
Because Regal Cinemas is going to offer a ghost trap popcorn bucket for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Fuck yes.
Did you see this, Aaron?
No way. No way it's worse than
Look at this. No,
oh,
no, it's actually it's actually
that.
Cool.
Holy shit.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And it's not made out of paper?
I don't know, and I think awesome. Aaron's going to pay the $25 for sure.
Oh, fuck off. That's awesome.
I don't know if it's $25. I'm kidding, but you know Aaron's buying this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when you buy, just bring it on the show. Show everyone when you buy it, and then we'll all fuck it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey.
That's what you do with popcorn buckets now. You fuck them.
I get to go the first 5 times, and then y'all can.
Yeah. No, I like Ghostbusters. I don't know if I'm going to be seeing the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's,
I mean,
like,
Paul Rudd's good.
I love Ghostbusters. Paul Rudd's great.
Like, now they're all back. Like, now it's not even special that Bill Murray's back.
I know.
Because he's been back.
I know, they're all back, and it's like, this should feel more special, but I don't know.
Right.
It's like, they're, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So moving on, Michael Keaton was on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast, and he admitted that he had no idea what was going on with his cameo in Morbius.
Oof.
Keaton said, I didn't really understand anything about it, and even they couldn't quite explain it.
Yeah.
Wait, was it, it wasn't cut out? It was left in?
Oh, it was a post-credit scene.
Yeah, that was the post-credit scene.
Oh, I still haven't seen it.
Again, it's one of the worst dialogues, like, you'll ever. He's like, I'm not sure how I got here. It has to do with Spider-Man, I think. I'm just figuring this place out, and maybe
Spider-Man?
We can. No, this is Michael Keaton talking.
Yeah, oh, got it.
He's like, I'm still figuring this place out, but I think you and I could team up and do some good. And, like, that was the dialogue. Like, it was so, everyone made fun of it. It was so bad.
Mm.
So
that maybe could have worked if you just let Michael Keaton ad-lib that scene.
Sure, I guess.
That was
yeah,
so
don't
painful.
Write it. Yeah.
Like, it's the worst line of, the worst words Michael Keaton's ever said in a movie.
Oh.
It was so bad.
Easily.
You have some Michael Keaton stuff, though, don't you? The thing you sent me? About the Oscars?
What's that?
When he, who he dressed up as at the Oscars?
Oh, right, yeah.
So, I saw that too.
So the one little thing where he had the back and forth when DeVito and Schwarzenegger were on stage.
Yeah.
When it cut to him, the suit he was wearing, it was basically the same suit that Adam West's Bruce Wayne was wearing.
That's so awesome.
From an episode of the show. That's so great.
Yeah.
That's so great. I love that Keaton, unlike so many other actors that, you know, they have an iconic role and they want to move on from it, just put it behind him.
Right.
He just 100% embraces that he's Batman.
It's so great.
I love it.
Like, you just want to see them make a sequel after that little Oscar sketch again. It's like, fuck it. Bring back Mr. Freeze.
Do it.
All three of them.
Bring back all of them.
Well, he never got to fight Mr. Freeze.
Right.
It was George Clooney in a horrible movie.
Oh, yeah. We reviewed that. Go back in the archives and watch. So speaking of Batman, Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson's The Batman sequel has been delayed to 2026.
Good.
Does anyone even care at this point?
Just cancel it.
Like, that means it'll come out 5 years after the original.
Just cancel
it. 5 years.
The Pete Holmes thing where he's firing superheroes as Batman.
Yes.
And he fires himself. That whole thing is amazing.
He fires Robert Pattinson's Batman.
He's like sleeping. He goes like, what are you doing? Yeah. Then he takes out the adrenaline and shoves it. He's like, ah! Then he starts punching the table. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, do you ever take adrenaline hits? Like, no.
Dude, there's going to be a James Gunn Batman movie before this comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's crazy. Why. Maybe he was like, hey, delay that shit.
Yeah, push that back.
Stop with the different fucking worlds. I don't need two Batman in movies at the same time. I'm tired of all this. I'm tired of the multiverse. It's bullshit.
I'll take Michael Keaton, though. Make Batman Beyond with Michael Keaton.
Sure.
Do that.
That's the only multiverse thing they need to
do. Robert Pattinson's Batman. Yeah. I like how they're like, no, you know, it was Robert Pattinson's idea to say I'm Vengeance instead of I'm Batman. Oh, good job, asshole.
Yeah, nice. Wrong.
I liked you in Tenet, and then you fucking ruined it.
I know.
You ruined all the goodwill you had.
We're like, oh, I think he's a good...
Nope.
No.
In Tenet, he's more like Bruce Wayne than he fucking is in the Batman movie. Like, in Tenet, it's like, oh, that's Bruce Wayne! Jesus.
This is the best version of Batman.
Really?
What is Robert Pattinson?
No. Also, Venom 3 is official. Speaking of shitty movies, Venom 3's official title is Venom The Last Dance. Get it? Because of the Last Dance documentary from 4 years ago?
Hold on. Why would they make another one of those and not have it with Spider-Man? It was so bad, the last one. It was a box office bomb, wasn't it?
No.
It made money. Of course,
Venom's going to make, yeah.
Yeah, of course it did.
So, yeah, it's coming out October 25th.
So they're never giving us this payoff of Tom Hardy and Spider-Man in the
Tom
same
Holland,
movie.
Spider-Man.
Well, there's rumors that they want to bring Tom Hardy to, you know, the MCU. And
they want to? They do it.
So just do it instead of this.
They teased that they did, but then he went back to his universe.
Do it instead of this. Come on.
Oh, he looks delicious.
But I hate this. I hate this version of Venom. Tom Hardy was the right guy for the job, but the execution on Venom, I've said it many times. It was the first movie we did on this fucking podcast. Mm. Venom doesn't talk. He doesn't talk to him.
Right.
Not like that. Venom, Jesus.
Venom.
Yeah. Like, oh, God. Anyways, all right, that's enough. So in an interview with Collider, I'll just go crazy. In an interview with Collider, Nicolas Cage confirmed... the report that came out like a month ago that he is in talks for the live-action Spider-Man Noir series for Amazon Prime Video.
Fuck yes, give it to us.
Cage, why not?
Cage said, I can say we've been talking, but nothing's definitive yet. I'm Nicolas Cage.
Fuck yes.
Cross your fucking fingers.
Give it to me now.
No, say it again.
Cross your fucking fingers!
There you go.
Cross your fucking fingers!
There you go.
Yeah. Also, The Hollywood Reporter says Teen Titans is getting a live-action movie. A lot of people like this cartoon. My son used to watch it. You know, it has, like, Teenage Robin. It has Cyborg. There's Raven. I don't know the other fucking characters, but...
Starfire, I think.
Raven.
Starfire.
Yeah.
Sure. Raven. From X-Men.
Raven.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know... We can't even, I don't even know, like, teenage actors at this point, so. But usually they hire, like, they'll hire Tom Holland to be Robin, what?
Right.
But yeah, we'll see. And then the last thing I have was the old man from Squid Game was recently found guilty of sexual assault.
Yeah.
This is insane.
He's like 80.
He's like 90. What?
The actor was given an 8-month suspended prison sentence in order to attend classes on sexual violence.
He's going to be dead before he finishes the class.
No. He gave hugs and kisses on the cheek to girls that didn't ask for them.
Oh, boy. Well, I'd be upset, too, if he did that to me.
But wait, he died at the end of the first season, right? So,
Spoiler alert, but yeah.
Yeah, if anything, it'd be flashbacks, right?
Sure, yeah.
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 So... But also,
bizarre.
Apparently, David Fincher is making a U.S. version of Squid Game.
I heard about this. Yeah,
could be. I mean, it's David Fincher, though.
I mean, it's Fincher. But...
Like, I don't think they're just going to copy the same. I think it'll be a completely different storyline.
Oh, they have to. Yeah,
yeah.
They have
to. Right?
Why do you need to though? Like, it's
so good.
I mean, the thing is, everyone's seen season one, even with
and the second one's coming out. End of this year.
Yeah.
I don't think they have an official release date yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure we need that.
Yeah.
I mean, the original was fine.
Right. What do you guys have?
I had a couple things. I'm surprised I'm the one bringing this up and not Andrew, but Christopher Nolan has started writing his next film.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's not 100%, but some people are saying that what
he's... It's an Oppenheimer sequel.
Oppenheimer sequel.
Oppenheimer's Revenge.
The Bomb 2, Kaboom.
Kaboom?
Kaboom, that's great.
No, some people are saying it's a remake of a 60s show where basically a guy gets kidnapped to a small town where everybody is hostages and they're under constant surveillance. It's kind of like a creepy, ominous kind of thing.
I'm in.
Sounds, that's interesting. Sounds very Nolan.
Yeah. Still waiting for him to make a fucking James Bond movie.
Sure.
There was a rumor that he was going to fucking do that and that never happened. It's like, damn it.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, but we wouldn't understand it.
You'd have to watch it 5 times, which is fine. That's what I do.
At the end, we'd be like, okay, so who was James Bond? Let's watch it again.
Shit.
Hey, projector guy, can you just run it back?
Which guy was James Bond?
Yeah, what else?
And then a few new things coming out. We've got Keihui Kwan. He's got a action thriller coming out next year that's going to be directed by the... the fight coordinator of John Wick.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's no other details, but I'm in just based on that.
Sure.
Like, and this guy who left for 20, 30 years?
Yes.
And now he's just in everything.
He's back.
He's in Kung Fu Panda 4.
He's back. Yeah, right. I love the guy, him in an action movie. He was
great in Loki as well.
Already in. Also, by the end of this year, filming for Nobody 2 might start.
That's cool.
Better Call Saul. I loved it. What a fun movie.
Yo, that was great.
That seems like a one and done, though, that movie. Because it kind of had a fun, you know what I mean? Like,
So did John Wick, kind of. And then they made more fun movies.
And this is a poor man's John Wick.
It really is.
Right. Yeah.
Literally.
I loved that movie. That was great.
That was good. Another
Christopher
one.
Lloyd, like at 85 years old, he's shooting guys.
I know. Just shooting guys in the face. Also, another one coming out. Owen Wilson and Woody Harrelson are going to star as detectives in a serial killer movie.
Oh, it sounds like True Detective.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's called Lips Like Sugar. It's also going to have Erin Moriarty from The Boys. So that could be interesting.
Okay. And her weird new face.
And her fucked up new face.
Oh, God.
I know.
Oh, it's so bad.
I know.
It's so bad. Starlight.
I hate the person who gave her advice. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
She was so pretty.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, Hollywood really is a sick place. The fact that they could convince, like, these women in their 20s to get plat. Like, what is that?
Do you want to look like a cat?
Yeah. They have to know it's bad. It's just got to be this humiliation thing. You know, like, it's Cat Williams has, like, come out saying that, like, he's claiming that he's releasing all these Hollywood secrets. Like, he says John Cena had to be naked at the Oscars as, like, this embarrassing, like, ritual that Hollywood wanted him to go through in order to, like, make it.
Right.
It's really odd.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I got, Arnold and Joe's boy, Alan Richson.
Yes.
They're going to be in a movie where Arnold is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
And his magic bag gets stolen, so he has to go to Reacher to come up with a heist to get it back.
What's with all these weird old action star guys being Santa?
So you've got old Arnold and new Arnold. This looks dumb enough or fun enough or both.
That
we might have to do naughty this. List?
So he turns his naughty list to find. So he turns to his naughty list to find a former thief to help him get it back. Like, I need to find the guy on this list that would be good to help me get the list back.
Yes.
The fuck?
What?
Yeah. All these Santa movies. The only good one was the fucking one that had the dad from Stranger Things. The cop. That one was great.
Yeah.
That one was really good.
Which I still haven't seen. I still need to see that.
Most people didn't know that the Santa Claus is from Austria. Jesus. This is where he originated. The Austrian Santa Claus would give you gifts, but also beat the shit out of you on Christmas.
Yeah.
Where's Mrs. Claus? Well, here's the thing. It got really cold one night and I fucked the maid. And there's a son over there sitting around. He looks like me. He's the most like me out of all my kids. And
come on.
Mrs. Claus is very mad.
Anything else?
Have you guys heard about this Fall Guy movie coming out in a couple months with Gosling?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So this might get Andrew's attention. So it's an action movie.
Yeah.
I think I saw the trailer.
But it's directed. Looks weird. It's directed by David Leitch, who is the director of Deadpool 2, John Wick, and Bullet Train.
Oh, boy.
So just right. on Should that alone,
yeah.
we got to give that a chance.
That's right? true. I hate Ryan. I don't like Ryan Gosling.
Really?
Not a big fan. Look, the movie looks weird. The trailer looks weird.
Okay, but aren't you the one that's been telling me just trust James Gunn?
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy made Bullet Train.
Yeah,
Bullet
no, everything Train was he amazing. Makes is great. Yeah, I know.
Amazing.
It is. I know. All right, maybe I'll give it a try.
All right.
All right, should we move on to Talladega Nights? Anything else?
Talladega.
Talladega Nights, all right. Here we go. Oh, boy. Just get ready for quotes galore here. So the first thing we see, this is like Adam McKay's thing. He does in a lot of his movies where he puts up like a fake quote.
Yeah.
Like, you know, America is all about speed. Hot, nasty speed. Eleanor Roosevelt.
Eleanor Roosevelt, 1936.
Yeah. So we see Ricky Bobby Bourne in the back of his daddy's car while Reese Bobby's driving 90 miles an hour. Mother, played by Jane Lynch, she's in the back and he's going like 90 and he stops really quick and that's how the baby's born, you know, just like a silly comical gag. And then again, we watched the unrated version and for some reason they took this next scene out. Yeah. But thankfully I remembered it. So we have four-year-old Ricky, like... he's like four, I think, I want to say, and his mom like goes to the store to buy some milk, leaves him in the car, but then he just gets in the front seat and steals her car, like pushes the gas pedal with a baseball bat, like a toy baseball bat.
Yeah.
And then he's just like cutting people off on the road and everything. And like, it was good. It was like, it's a funny little scene. They should have left it in for the unrated version. Like, I don't know why they took it out. Cause it's also the first time he says like, I'm going fast. Like, I want to go fast. That was the thing, yeah. In the beginning of the scene, he's like, I want to go fast, I want to go fast. And that was the only thing he would say. And like later in the movie, he says, I want to go fast, like multiple times. Yeah. So years later.
Like a big part of the trailer, right?
That's yes, yeah, yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Years later, Ricky Bobby's in middle school and it's career day. We see one of the kid's fathers, like, where did he work? He worked at
managed a Waffle House.
He's like, that is, you know, how you manage a Waffle House. And I don't know what else you want from me. And I also need to know where your commode's at.
The one-liners in this movie.
Oh, it's nonstop. There's
hundreds of them, yeah.
So Reese Bobby shows up after he hadn't seen his son in 10 years. And
what's it been, son? A couple months?
Yeah. 10 years. I need to lay off the peyote. And then he's smoking a cigarette. The teacher's like, you can't do it. He's like, oh, it's okay. I'm a volunteer fireman. He's like, I'm a semi-professional race car driver and a tattoo artist. And like, ooh.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you know, succeed in your life, you don't listen to your know-it-all teacher. You know, and he says, he tells him to be a race car driver because it's the fastest who gets paid and the fastest who gets laid. Mm. And of course, he gets thrown out of the school. And before he leaves, he tells Ricky, you know, don't listen to him. You're a winner. You got the gift. Remember, if you ain't first, you're last. See you when you're grown up. Just see you when you're
grown up. Great line.
So then we fast forward to when he's an adult and it's Will Ferrell, Ricky, and his best friend Cal, played by the great John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly. You have one? You have one?
Yet? No, I don't have it. I mean, maybe a Cal.
Who, by the way, was also in Days of Thunder.
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God.
He's a repairman. Right.
Yeah.
Like, this might be his best role, really.
It's really
good.
He's
so good. I mean, this is Step Brothers, but yeah. They're part of the worst racing crew in NASCAR. The driver, played by Adam McKay, quits the race. That's the director.
Yep.
Quits the race to take a piss and eat a sandwich. So Michael Clark Duncan... who's, I don't know what you call that. I'm not a huge racing expert. What's his?
The crew chief.
The crew chief, thank you. He's like, who wants to go fast? And Ricky says, I want to go fast.
I want to go fast.
So Ricky gets in the car and Cal says, hey, remember that time in 10th grade we got kicked out of class for playing with Matchbox cars? Yeah. Who's retarded now? Yeah. Hey, I love you. What? Nothing. So good.
He's the best.
And Ricky ends up, after like Adam McKay skips like 10 laps,
I know.
It seems
he's having a sandwich. Yeah, this is really good, guys.
Ricky ends up finishing third, and you know, he's like the talk of the race. Of course, he's getting interviewed. He's nervous. You know, the classic. I don't know what to do with my hands. And
yeah,
he's not good at interviews.
At the end, he's
just classic awkward Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
so good.
But the owner, Mr. Dennett, played by the original Jim Gordon, Commissioner Gordon, from the Michael Keaton Batman movies.
Yes.
And the later ones, the later shitty ones.
I thought he was in it more, unless this version.
No, he's barely in it.
That's it. He's the one little line.
Like, just that and then the press conference later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he loves Ricky Bobby. His son, you know, he's like, he's got two first names, Ricky Bobby. And he's like, he's just a stupid cowboy. And he's like, I wish you had more stupid cowboy in you. Like, so Ricky ends up becoming the best driver in NASCAR. We have a little montage. They also made Cal a driver on the team, and Ricky gets first place and Cal gets second place. It seems like that's what they're doing, like, every time.
Yeah.
Shake and bake. And then a woman flashes Ricky in the crowd. Please be 18. And then they're instantly married.
Yep.
Great.
And then later, Ricky's signing autographs, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. wants an autograph. He's like, who you want to make it out to? Oh, me. I think you're awesome, man. Just don't tell any of the drivers. He's like, yeah, I won't. All
right. Right.
Absolutely. I'd love to sign your baby's forehead. And then he also signs Susan, his assistant by accident, played by
Amy Adams.
Amy Adams. Thank you. Yeah. And then we see him do a bunch of commercials. I'm Ricky Bobby. If you don't chew Big Red, then fuck you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ricky Bobby, and I'm Cal Norton Jr., urging you not to go to Tijuana. That was an extra line for the unrated version. So, you know, some of them were good. Then Ricky does an interview and he's like, I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and no one can handle my stuff. You know, if you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? So
I'm just a big American Harry winning machine or something. Yeah, like that.
Right. So then they have a family dinner consisting of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to thank you, baby Jesus, for my two beautiful sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, and my wife, who's a Stone Cold Fox. And then Cal's like, like, just the hints, the little subtle hints right there.
Yeah.
That he loves her. Dear tiny infant Jesus and your golden fleece diapers. And then, like, Cal's talking, like, I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo shirt. Because he's like, you know, I want to be formal, but I'm here to party. Because I like to party and I like my Jesus to party. And he also says he has a contract that stipulates that he has to mention Powerade at each grace. And then this is the part of the movie that my sister constantly, still to this day, makes me quote.
Yeah.
He's like, how was school today, kids? Well, I threw a bunch of grandpa's war medals off the bridge. Sounds like a good day.
Sounds like a good day.
Texas Ranger, how about you? Well, a teacher asked me the capital of North Dakota. I said, Washington, D.C. Bingo. She said, no, you're wrong. I said, you got a lumpy butt. She got mad at me and yelled at me. And I pissed in my pants. And I didn't change my pants. I'm still wearing my piss pants.
My pee pants.
Yeah.
That's great.
So then the kids talk shit to the grandfather, but Ricky loves it.
And now, fun fact about the older kid, Walker.
Not so much fun.
What do you mean?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I just, that was the only thing he's ever done.
He's dead.
And he's dead. Oh. I was going to save that for the end.
Are you shitting? Wow.
Yeah. He died like a couple years ago.
Yeah. He was in the military. He had PTSD and he killed himself.
Jesus.
Yeah. Not to be a bummer, but yeah, it's crazy.
But that was the only role he's ever been in too as a kid.
Right. Yeah.
Damn, got poltergeist vibes there.
Yeah.
So then Ricky and Carly start to make love on the dinner table. Cal's like, I'll hold your hair. Like, just in front of the kids, in front of her father and everything. Yeah. Then at the next race, Ricky checks on the two tickets that he always leaves for his dad, but he never shows. Cal lets Ricky do the slingshot move to put him ahead. Ricky crashes into the guy in first, and Ricky gets turned around, and Cal gets wrecked. And then Ricky goes head-to-head with the other driver and ends up winning the race in reverse.
Amazing.
Amazing. Gives the guy the finger. And then Mr. Dennett's son is now the owner as his dad died, and he hates Ricky because his father loved Ricky more than him, of course.
Yep.
So then Ricky and Cal celebrate at the bar with everyone else, and Cal's like, hey, man, I was just thinking, you know, it'd be real awesome if you could slingshot me in for a win. Okay, but if you win, then how am I going to win? Yeah, think about it. You know, like, yeah. I love that line. So then the party gets interrupted by jazz music because the villain of the movie is Jean Girard, played by Sacha Baron Cohen, a.k.a. Borat, a.k.a. my wife.
Oh, yeah. Also known as my wife.
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen this before, so this was a huge pop for me. I had no idea Sacha Baron Cohen was in this movie.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was amazing.
I am a race car driver like you, except I am from Formula... And then he's talking to Ricky. He's like, what does America give in the world except Cheerios, George Bush, and the Psymaster? Chinese food? That's from China. Pizza? Italy. Chimichanga? Mexico. What did the French people give us? We invented democracy and the blowjob.
You know what's funny is that in the original it was menage a trois.
Yeah.
But there's blowjob in this. That's the unrated.
Yes.
So unrated.
So, yeah, wow.
Wow.
And then Cal's like, well, those are pretty good things.
Pretty
like,
good things.
Well, last one's pretty cool.
Last one's pretty good. Yeah.
So Ricky takes a swing at Girard, but he blocks it and puts Ricky in an arm bar and threatens to break it unless he says, I love crepes. And Ricky won't say it, even though he finds out that he loves crepes. He's like, oh, those are really thin pancakes. Oh, my God, I love those. He's like, how about you just say I love really thin pancakes? That is a fair compromise, no? And he still won't do it. He goes, break it, Pepe Le Pew. And Girard breaks his arm. He actually did it. And then Cal tries to taser Girard, but Mr. Dennett shoots a gun and says Girard is his new driver. And then Girard introduces his husband, played by Andy Richter. And everyone is horrified. And then Ricky's like, the room's starting to spill real fast. Because the gayness. Cal, I love you. He passes out. Then we see Rob Riggle has a little cameo in this movie.
Yeah, a lot of cameos.
He plays a host on Speed News. And it's one of the best lines of the movie. Like they show this video of Girard's life. They're like, oh, before his races, Girard spends time with his world-class horses, who are also gay. And then Girard kisses his husband, and they show Rob Riggle and the other guy. They're like, they just look, you know, disgusted by it. Later, Girard beats Ricky's track record. They get face to face to talk trash, and Girard says some quote, and then Ricky's like, let me quote the late great Colonel Sanders. He said, I'm too drunk to taste his chicken. And then Girard tells Ricky, gives him an offer. He says, I will leave NASCAR forever if you kiss me on the lips right now. But of course, Ricky won't do it. And then Cal says, shake and bake a few times. And Girard thinks like he's retarded or something. And it's good. Then we see Ricky cut off his cast to compete in the next race. He also sold his windshield to Fig Newtons.
So
he can't really see out of the windshields. Then Ricky catches up to Girard, who was chilling in first place while drinking coffee. He bumps into him. You've spilled my macchiato.
Yeah.
Cal blew out his engine, so Ricky's on his own. And then Ricky's told to lay off Girard because he can't pass him. Ricky goes to the outside, but he slams into the wall and his engine blows. Mm. Yep, I'm flying through the air. This is not good. And Ricky gets out of the car. He thinks he's on fire, so he quickly strips to his underwear.
They're like, Ricky's never crashed before.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to handle it.
And the big line from the trailer, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish gods. Help me, Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, use your witchcraft to get the fire off me. And then Cal's like, please don't let the invisible fire burn my friend. He tackles him. So then Ricky goes to the hospital. He's sleeping. And his wife tells the doctor, I want the plug pulled. He's like, no, he's just asleep. He's fine.
He's taking a nap.
Yeah. And then while Ricky sleeps, Cal tells him about the time he posed for Playgirl.
Oh, my God.
He's like, it was weird. I pulled my butt apart.
That's right.
You might have not heard about it because I went under the name Mike Honcho.
Was this in theatrical, too?
Yes.
So this was both versions.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of the best parts
so
for sure.
So good.
I just want you to know, if you could hear that, that I spread my butt cheeks is my concho. And then in the unrated version, like Cal tries to smother him with a pillow, but Ricky fights him. And then later we see Ricky playing wheelchair basketball, but like he's kicking people with his legs. And the doctor tells Cal and Lucius that his paralysis is all psychosomatic. And Cal's like, now when you say psychosomatic, you're saying that he can start a fire with his thoughts? Yeah. No. It's like, no, absolutely not. And then later, Ricky's like, yeah, I bought myself a $100,000 accessible van. Yeah, that's paid for. Oh, yeah, that's all paid in full. Yeah, it's parked out there. And then they finally tell him, like, you know, you're not paralyzed. And to prove it to them, he sticks a knife in his leg. But then he starts screaming, stands up, and realizes he can walk. So then they get another knife to pry the original knife out.
So awesome.
And then Cal tells Ricky, you know, like, hey, while you're resting up, you know, I'll win some races. And Ricky's like, yeah, that ain't going to happen. No. I'm Ricky Bobby. First to last, right? You know? And then we have a montage of Gerard easily winning race after race. Ricky recovers and does a test drive, but he's too scared to drive fast. How fast is he going? 26 miles an hour. And then after he gets out of the car, he thinks he's on fire again. Immediately strips down, and then Mr. Dennett tells Ricky's wife Carly that Cal is going to be number one at Dennett Racing. And then Ricky goes home that night to find that Cal has replaced him as a husband and father. He's like, we're getting married, Ricky. We're getting matching leprechaun tattoos. And Ricky's like, I was gone 3 hours. What the hell just happened? Dennett just fired me from the team. And then Cal tells Ricky, you never let me win one time. Shake and Bake is dead. We just came up with a new nickname, the Magic Man.
Magic Man.
Now you see me, now you don't. That is the stupidest nickname I ever heard. Is it, Ricky? Or are you upset? Or you wish you could have thought of it? All right, I admit that was an awesome nickname. And then he's like, look out for the invitation for the wedding because you're going to be my best man. He's like, I'm not going to be your best man. We are no longer friends. Why? Why? You're wrecking my life. So
the wedding is going to be in a couple weeks.
Yeah, he's like, it's a couple weeks from now. So Ricky takes his sons and he moves in with his mom, takes a job as a pizza delivery driver because I guess Carly has all the money somehow. Yeah. And but he runs over everything and everyone, including a police officer. So then he has it delivered by bicycle.
I wish they would have explained that a little bit. Like yeah. Something like a throwaway line. Sure. Like her saying, well, like, well, I have it all signed over to me. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just silly that he's worth all that money. And he, you know.
Yeah, it's a silly movie.
He doesn't have a debit card, you know.
No. She handles all the money.
Yeah.
So Ricky's father orders pizza after pizza until he gets his son. He tells him, he's like, I'm your daddy. Me and your mother did it in the back of a steakhouse when I was 17. And then you showed up, which is hilarious because when you go back to that original scene, what's his name? Gary Cole and Shane Lynch are supposed to be like 18 years old.
Yeah, right.
That scene. Yep. So Ricky punches his dad and leaves. And I love the line as he's riding off on the bicycle. Is that a Huffy? That's a fine looking back, boy.
Yeah.
Ricky's mom then tells him that she called his dad because he needs help. Reese shows up to the house and tells Ricky, I saw you on the track. You saw the fear. I can help you. I know I screwed up raising you as a boy, but let me help you as a man. Fine, but I ain't calling you daddy. Well, what are you going to call me? All right, Professor Dickweed, what do you want to do? First lesson is he tells Ricky to get in a car with a live cougar inside. Like almost, I think almost every Will Ferrell movie, he's fighting some animal.
Yeah.
You know?
That's his thing.
I think the best part of this is like it cuts to the shots of the cougar in the car. Yeah. And then when you cut to the wide shots, it's clearly like someone with like a hand puppet being the cougar.
Yeah. So he's like, how'd you get it? I trapped it. Been fiending old pizza. You trapped it? Where? How did you trap a cougar? Okay. So then Ricky opens the car. Of course, the cougar jumps on him. He goes home.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Thing.
It's like, oh, yeah. He goes home. His mom's like, how was your day? He's like, well, I was mauled by a cougar. Learned nothing about driving. And also, Ricky's sons are out of control, so Ricky's mom smacks them, starts raising them right. We see them, like, going to church. They're picking up trash on the side of the street and everything like that. They're not assholes anymore. Then Reese makes Ricky drive blindfolded, but he instantly crashes into a house. Like, that's a great scene.
It's just
one shot of this car crashing, and then it, for real, crashes into a house.
Amazing.
So good.
It was awesome. Then Cal calls Ricky, and he asks him how stuff in the house works. He also thinks the house is haunted. He's like, how do you, you know, listen to music and watch TV at the same time? Why do you want to do that? Because I like to party. And again, he also thinks the house is haunted. And then when he hangs up, you just hear like, get out. It's
all scary. Like, that's just a great thing. Like, it makes no sense, but I love it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Then Reese wakes Ricky up by throwing buckets of water on him as he like gives him trivia about like NASCAR racing.
Yeah.
And then he tells Ricky that he put a kilo of cocaine under the car and called the cops. So what are you going to do? You know, make a choice, speed or jail. So Ricky gets in the car. The cops show up. So Ricky speeds away. And then he realizes he's driving 116 miles per hour. He gets his balls back. I'm going fast again. He escapes from the cops and then grabs the bag under the car. And there's a message from his dad. Feels good going fast, doesn't it? By the way, don't try to snort these Lucky Charms.
It's great. It's like Rocky getting his fastball back again when he's having a training montage. Oh, yeah.
That's a great example.
So good.
So Ricky can now drive with the Cougar in the car. He passes a driving test, gets his license back. Ricky then invites his father to a family dinner. He's like, I'm talking about sitting down, enjoying a meal at a place that's real special. And, of course, they're at Applebee's.
That's great.
So good.
Like, is Applebee's okay with this? Like, do they sign on?
Oh,
like,
of course they did.
Any press is good press.
Any press is good press.
They know
Applebee's.
Who they are.
Yeah.
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 I loved Applebee's as a kid.
Yep.
We all did when we were 13.
They had IBC root beer.
Sure.
There you go. They were, like, the only place that had IBC root beer. So Ricky's mom, they go to dinner. Ricky's mom asks Reese out to ballroom dancing. And he's like, all right, enough of this bullshit. Who wants to go ballroom dancing with Jane Lynch? Am I right? So,
well, it could be interesting.
He gets himself kicked out of the restaurant. And then Ricky tells Reese outside, like, all those races I won, that was for you. I did what you told me, first or last, just like you said. Oh, Ricky, I was high when I said that. That doesn't make any sense, first or last. You could be second, third, fourth. Hell, you can even be fifth.
You can be fifth.
I live my whole life by it. Which is funny because in that scene when he told them first or last, there's a bumper sticker that says, if you ain't first, you're last.
Yeah, so, true.
I was high when I said it. I guess you were high when you got that bumper sticker.
Slapped it on your car. Yeah.
Probably.
He made that bumper sticker.
Right.
So that's funny. Then later, Ricky's old assistant, Susan, who earlier just, you know, it's Amy Adams, fine, but it's her in glasses with her hair tied up and, you know, they don't make her look that sexy. But here it's like her hair's down and it's like, oh, right. That's Amy Adams.
Yeah.
And she sees Ricky sucking at a NASCAR arcade game and Jean Girard taunts him in the game. He's like, you are a terrible driver. Is your name Ricky Bobby?
He's like, how are you already in a video game?
Yeah.
How'd you get on a video game so fast?
And then Ricky tells Susan that he's not going to race at Talladega. But then she gives him this awesome speech that, like, is so good you could put it in, like, a serious sports movie.
Right.
You know, she's like, you should race because it's what you love. It's who you are. It's who you were born to be. And here you are. Here you sit thinking, well, Ricky Bobby is not a thinker. Ricky Bobby is a driver.
Oh, man.
You win. You win for yourself because a man takes what he wants. And you're a man, aren't you? Aren't you?
God, every man deserves this woman.
Right?
So awesome.
Right.
And he's like, are we about to get it on? He's like, I'm harder than like a like something. I forget. But yeah.
Like a diamond in a snowstorm.
Yeah, right. A diamond in a snowstorm. Yeah.
So then Susan climbs on the table and they make out. And yeah, it's good stuff. So then Ricky visits Girard at his house to tell him, you know, I'm coming for you. And Girard tells Ricky, he's like, do you know why I came to America? And Ricky's like, public schools,
healthcare,
water parks. I mean, and, you know, same reason anyone comes here. He's like, I came here for you to beat me. My husband Gregory and I only want for two things, to retire to Stockholm and to create a currency for dogs and cats to use. And Ricky's just like, that is dumb. It's not dumb. Is dumb. Why is it dumb? I don't know. Stop that little line.
And what does he say in the unrated version?
I don't even know. It's not even funny.
To raise like alpacas in the
something, like something stupid.
It's worse.
Yeah. So Girard said he won't lose to him on purpose, but he hopes Ricky will beat him. He's like, you know, the Beatles needed the Rolling Stones. Even Diane Sawyer needed Katie Couric. Will you be my Katie Couric? And Ricky's like, wow, I feel like I'm in Highlander. What is the Highlander? It's a movie. Any good? Very good. Won the Academy Award. Oh, for what? For best movie ever made.
Yeah, yep.
So then Ricky's crew makes him a new car, but they tell him that there was a fire and Glenn died. Glenn was the page from 30 Rock.
Jack McBrayer.
Oh. Yeah, right. But then Ricky sees Glenn hiding around the corner. Glenn, I see you. Like, damn it, Glenn. Was he crying?
Yeah.
So good.
And also Ricky didn't get any corporate sponsors, so they just painted a cougar on the car and just wrote me. Like, ME, he's like, what company is ME? He's like, no, it's you. So then Ricky meets with Cal before the race, and he thinks about knocking him out, but he apologizes for never letting him win, and Cal doesn't know how to feel about that. He's very conflicted. Oh, we're in a race rainstorm right now, too. Wow. Then Ricky's father shows up and collects his tickets that Ricky left for him, but then he immediately tries to sell them.
Turns it right around. I got two tickets, $60 each.
And I guess he does sell them because he never goes into the race. The fence,
right? That's right, yeah.
That's great.
So during the race, Ricky passes Cal. Like, Cal's having this conversation with his chief, and he's like, hey, Ricky's passing you right now. Ricky passed me in my subconscious? He's like, no, he's actually passing you right now.
Right.
So Mr. Dennett tells Cal to wreck Ricky, but Cal says, you could tell him that Ricky Bobby is my best friend. And it's shake and bake time. So Cal lets Ricky do the slingshot so he can get right next to Gerard. So Mr. Dennett tells another one of his drivers to take out Cal, and he does, but it causes every car behind them to wreck.
Every
single other one.
Driver.
So only Ricky and Gerard are left with six laps left, and they're just neck and neck. Sherrard yells like, Ricky, I watched the Highlander movie. It was shit. And then on the last lap, Ricky and Gerard wreck each other.
Yep.
And the crash takes so long that they cut to an Applebee's commercial.
Amazing. So good.
Doctor, I got news. I got bad kids.
And they show the whole commercial. Yeah. It's like a real commercial.
You're right.
So good.
So then Ricky and Gerard get out of their cars, but then Ricky starts to run toward the finish line, so Gerard follows him, and they both dive for the finish line, but Gerard is short, and Ricky's hand makes it over, and we see Ricky's dad watching him from a fence, and then the commentator's like, wow, I mean, it was completely illegal, and it'll no way count, but that was amazing!
Right, right.
And Gerard congratulates Ricky. He tries to shake his hand, but Ricky says, I will never shake your hand, but I will give you this. And then they make out.
Great.
And they make out a lot. And it was so epic that they won the MTV Movie Award for Best Kiss that year.
It was the best kiss.
And then they made out again at the award show. So then one guy explains because Ricky and Gerard got out of their cars, they were disqualified. So by default, Cal gets the win.
It's his first win, too, right?
First win ever.
Gerard was winning when Will Ferrell, when Ricky
and Cal was getting second place every time.
Yeah.
So we were wondering about that. Like, how does that, Ricky and Gerard got out of their cars? Like, well, doesn't everyone when they wreck?
I mean, maybe you have to get out of your car, and the race is over because there's no cars that are should have instantly ended. Yeah. Again, this movie, a lot of loopholes, but no one cares.
So Cal apologizes to Ricky, and they make up. He's like, shake and bake? No, never again.
Never again.
From now on, it's Magic Man and El Diablo. What's El Diablo mean? It's like Spanish for a fighting chicken. That's awesome, man.
That's awesome.
That's great.
And then this is only in the unrated version, but Carly tries to get back with Ricky by flashing her tits at him. And he's, conflicted by it. But then Susan flashes her tits back at her. And, Carly's impressed. And she's like, okay, I can see why you're with her. That's basically.
And, it's unrated.
Yeah.
Show some titties.
Sure.
Even if it's not those actresses. Stunt titties.
Yeah.
Give me some.
And then the guy who plays Champ from Anchorman. What's his name? Dave something?
Dave, Ketchner or something?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He just immediately pulls out his cell phone. He's like, and he's like, how about both? Both at the same time?
Yeah, can we get both? No.
Then Ricky's dad meets up with the family. Ricky introduces his girlfriend, Susan, to him. She's like, I'm Susan. We had sex. Really? Yeah, well, I wish I could have been there for that.
That's right.
And then, of course, Reese feels uncomfortable because it's getting too gooey, the family stuff. So Ricky says, how about we get ourselves kicked out of an Applebee's. He's like, you read my mind, son.
Yeah.
And great. They all get in Reese's car and drive off.
Yeah.
And then we have the outtakes. The outtakes are so good in this
amazing
movie. Like the packs of stray dogs that are controlling most of the major cities.
It's so good. Get through it.
There's so many great outtakes. But yeah, I fucking love this movie. It holds up 18 years later.
For sure.
What do you want to rate it?
I don't even like NASCAR anymore. I used to love NASCAR. I don't even watch it, but this movie's great.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. This is hard because I think it's really funny.
Yeah,
it's really enjoyable.
It's so good.
It's hard to give it lower than like an 8 because of how good it is. It's probably going to come in at like a 7.5, but since I hate 0.5s because like 10's enough, big enough scale, I'm going to go 8. 8 out of 10.
It's like a 9 for me, at least. I really loved it.
I was at about 7.5 until they ran the Applebee's commercial, like the legit Applebee's commercial. I'm like, all right, this is an 8.
Yeah.
This is a good movie.
It's a really funny movie.
It's at least a 9 for me. Yeah, I love it. It's so good.
Yeah.
Some of the lines just crack you up, even 18 years later.
It's insane. Yeah. I only got a couple of fun facts.
Okay.
Speaking of Christopher Nolan, this is a personal favorite.
That's awesome.
As he said publicly.
I even like it more now.
As if he couldn't get better.
Right.
The audio commentary, the DVD version, is just one long improvisation of largely false and silly observations.
Great.
Got to hear that. You mentioned the DVD or the Blu-ray for PS3 already. If you ain't first or last is a real quote. It's said by legendary football coach Vince Lombardi in an interview in which he expanded on his famous quote, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing.
Wow, right.
In the real quote, he was like, the real response is if you're not first, you're last. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
So that's it. Yeah.
All right, let's do fan questions. Omar Meow Meow says, just say that you love really thin pancakes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I've had crepes. You guys have all had crepes?
I think we all have.
Lexi's one of Lexi's favorites.
Chris Berg, no Boondog Saints on St. Patrick's Day. For shame.
Oh, love that fucking movie.
I'm pretending like you did. Boondog Saints is one of my all-time favorite movies, but the sequel is one of my all-time least favorite movies.
By the way, one of those dudes is from Houston, right? Not Norman Reedus, but the other one. Sean... What the hell's his name? Boondock Saints. It's Norman Reedus and the other dude. I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
Oh wow. Oh holy shit. Okay, I've got to show this movie to you guys.
I don't even know what it is. It's Boondock Saints?
Yeah, Boondock Saints.
This guy?
Yeah, Sean Patrick Flannery.
He played Powder or whatever. Yeah, he's from here.
Yeah, he's from here.
Yeah.
Dude, Boondock Saints is so fucking good, guys. You've got to see it.
What is it about? Two Irish Catholic brothers become vigilantes and wipe out Boston's criminal underworld. That's cool.
It's great. Defoe's in it. It's really
like this
really
is
good.
Before Walking Dead. I don't even know he did anything before Walking Dead.
Oh yeah, this was like what made Reedus and Sean Patrick Flannery. Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
He said, "What movie sequel is hands down the opposite of the original, for worse or for better?" Well, it's funny. Dune's probably the best sequel that came from a shitty movie, but
yeah,
worst sequel? God, so many.
Weekend at Bernie's too. It has to be. Weekend at Bernie's is so fun and hilarious, and what a great premise. The second one, he becomes like possessed, and he's like walking around on his own. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
Quick side note, I did do the death pool because it's a little bit, I mean, it's 2006.
Yeah.
We've already talked about some of them, but you want to guess?
The Jim Gordon actor.
Yep. He's gone. The kid.
Probably the grandpa.
The grandpa's gone.
Gotta be.
That's an obvious one, like one of the stars of the movie here. Gone. CCC?
I don't know.
Come on. Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, right. Of course.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then Cal's crew chief passed away a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Bill Capri, since you already reviewed Step Brothers, can you complete the trilogy and review/destroy Holmes and Watson?
Oh, boy.
No.
Andrew Wolf.
Wait, how is that the trilogy?
Because it's Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
The trilogy of them. Oh, yeah, I guess.
But no.
No.
Two out of three.
There is no trilogy.
Right. I mean, really, the Adam McKay, Will Ferrell trilogy is then, you know, we'd have to do Anchorman.
Anchorman. So. That I'd be happy to do.
He said he read that Holmes and Watson had a budget of $42 million and a box office of $41.9 million. They should have deleted this movie. Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, is that true?
That's what he says.
It made $100,000 less than the budget. That's awesome. Yeah. To come so close.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that because when I just heard Sherlock Holmes, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly.
Of course.
I was like, oh, that sounds amazing.
When that first came out, Andrew and I were talking about that, like, oh my God, that's going to be great.
Yes.
Did you ever actually see it?
I tried to watch.
Really?
Like, I watched like couldn't. 10 minutes and I was still like, haven't this seen is it. The opposite of funny. This is hurting.
Oof.
It hurts so much.
Is
to
that
watch.
Adam McKay as well?
No.
Oh.
No. Mm. Speedy McCrab, can JR give us a couple Ricky Bobby quotes?
Oh, wow.
If you ain't first, you're last, motherfuckers. Dear baby Jesus. Dear 6 ounce baby Jesus.
Don't worry, freaks. His feet are covered.
Yeah. I'm too drunk to taste this. Oh my God. I'm too drunk to taste this dick, Nyla.
Oh, Jesus. No. Oh, God.
Awesome. Nacho Man Randy Savage, DC is finally bringing back Elseworlds comic this summer, and it's going to be Gaslight Batman, the Kryptonian era.
Interesting.
Is that real?
Okay. Well, everything.
Gaslight Batman?
Nah. Everything Elseworlds is fun.
Mm.
Right.
Andy Piccone, name something you've done that would have gotten you kicked out of an Applebee's.
Oh, boy. Well.
Aaron's done a few things. Yeah.
I've done a few things.
That's funny. We used to do things as like teenagers that we would almost get kicked out of IHOP, just making a mess, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I used to be an expert at stopping just short of getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
Like just enough to be funny, but not quite enough to get my ass kicked.
Stealing walkie talkies.
Oh, God.
That'll do it.
I heard that story.
Yeah. PCJ, hey, I'm Pop Culture Junkie. If you don't subscribe to Hollywood Hogwash on Patreon, then fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how you recap this hilarious movie without word for word doing a full table reading of the script. Well, that's pretty much what we did.
Yeah, it's hard because every fucking line is so good.
Mm-hmm. The Rizzler, Farrell and Riley are probably the best comedic tag team combo. Find me a better duo. Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, ugh. The Rock and Kevin Hart,
no,
Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum, David Spade and Chris Farley, Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, not even close.
I mean, pound for pound.
There's a couple good ones in there, a couple bad ones.
Yeah.
Like, not even Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder could beat that.
They were good, though.
They were very, very good.
I don't know. You just brought up, like, actually two that can compete with these two, actually.
They could, but Jesus Christ. Like, just these two, Step Brothers and this.
I wonder how many more great movies Spade and Farley would have made together, because they were really good together.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Harpoon Fingerfuck, yes. He asked about Dune 2, but obviously I told you about it earlier. Just wanted to make sure your voice was heard. Don't worry, so... That is all for fan questions. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Hollywood Hog Pod. Become a supporter of the show at patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash. Again, we have a bunch of brackets on there already, and we're currently going through Invincible. So go sign up today. We appreciate that, and we'll see you next time. Shake and bake.